At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, November 17th, 2022. This is the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod for week number 11 in the National Football League. And things have gotten a little tighter around here after the last couple weeks' performance, especially this last week. We'll get into all that with our court stenographer, and staple of the show from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Still hasn't moved to Vegas for some winter tennis. It's Todd Wishnev, everybody. How you doing, Toddy?
What's up?
And, of course, Jeff Parlay, VEASAN host as well, in studio with me at the South Point. Jeffrey?
Good morning.
How you doing, man?
It's, it's the fun time of the year where we now have, obviously, the NFL, college football winding down. College basketball, which is Todd Wishnev's favorite sport to bet, basically.
I love it too.
And the
Penn State 51, Furman 32. For those of you who have the over,
yes, that's also good for those who have Penn State. I may or may not have the Nittany Lions in that game, but World Cup also, Gil.
World Cup, baby,
got a lot coming these next few weeks.
World Cup fever. Catch it. I don't have any bets right now, but I expect to have 37 bets by kickoff.
That's a pretty solid.
Do we call
line.
It kickoff? We don't call it kickoff.
The game technically kicks off.
Yeah. All right. And our rotating guest this week, he's kind enough to join us. He was on the Beating the Book preview Megapod show for the NFL season, which we did with Las Vegas Chris. He is the co-host of the Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni at VEASAN, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. It's my buddy Matt Brown. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. People listening to this on Saturday are going to love Jeff and Todd's college basketball updates, like in the middle of it. Yes, people listening to this on Saturday are going to love that.
You have voiced what I was thinking in my head. I was like, oh, this will play well.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk more about Thursday morning college basketball while we're here. All right, so
when Penn State plays Furman, it's a big game.
Throw
out the record books.
Throw everything out. And they're playing in Charleston, you know.
Let me just say this. Are you familiar with Pepperdine's backcourt, Todd, at all? How good they're going to be?
You know, Pepperdine's always a run-and-gun school, so, you know, I like those West Coast games where, you know, the possessions start getting ridiculous.
I bring that up because Houston Millett, who plays for Pepperdine, was supposed to play at Penn State, and then their coach bounced, and so he transferred to Pepperdine. They're a good little team. Anyway, there's your college basketball expertise right there. Okay, let's do this. Before we get to our best bets, we'd like to go through a couple of administrative things. One, how do we start the show again? I forget the format of the show.
Do we start with the dumbbell?
We start with the dumbbell of the week. Who you got, Todd? Or Jeff is good at remembering. It was the dumbbell of the week. What was the coaching or thereabouts?
Just stupidity?
Yeah.
Stupidity. Well, you know, I want to bring this to the floor real quick, Gil. What are everyone's thoughts on McCarthy's decision in overtime to go for it?
I loved it. I had no problem with it.
So I thought it was the definition of a coin flip decision.
I had no problem with it.
Because you have a great kicker in Maher, who is very good from range. You also have an offense that, in theory, should be able to pick up a fourth and three. I would have kicked, but I'm not blasting it like people blasted it.
Are people blasting it? Like, I can't understand
the old,
why.
The old school end of it was blasting it. But really, the dumbbell of the week was the officiating in the league this week, because what happened in Minnesota and Buffalo.
And Philadelphia.
And Philadelphia, yeah. Where the fact that the refs missed an obvious no catch on Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis' final Bills game tying drive in regulation.
Obvious no catch. Didn't even get a call down from the booth.
No.
Buffalo at 12 on defense on first and goal in overtime, which.
Which I only found out the next day.
I found out about 6 hours later. Someone tweeted it out, but whoa, that's a big deal. You can't miss that.
I'm told if you have 12. Yes.
And then in Philly, where you miss a face mask that turns into points for Washington, you. The OPI, I thought, was terrible as well, that the one on Washington.
The pick, yeah.
The pick that wasn't really a pick because it was just running a route.
Yeah.
It was a terrible one. And then, of course, the one at the end where the problem I have with the way that was administered, half the refs in the league make that call, half the refs don't.
Which one are you talking about?
The one on Heineke at the end that ended the game.
Oh, I think, you see, I agree with what everybody was saying after the game, which is, by the letter, you have to call
it. By the letter, it's the right call.
By the spirit of the game.
So you're asking a 300-pound guy to stop midstream. That's not – that just – you don't – that going against regular physics.
Well, he was trying to pull up, too.
No, I know. It was just one of those where it was just really – like, I understand by the letter of the law it was right, but really? Come on now.
In this day and age, I also think, by the way, the first PI, defensive PI on Washington – that led to Philadelphia's first touchdown, I immediately, and maybe I'm a Washington homer, and maybe I had in-game bets, not yet, though I didn't on Washington, so I can't even say that was a part of it. I think if that was Washington on defense, Washington on offense, that never would have been called on Philadelphia. He had his head turned, it was incidental contact, 30-yard penalty.
Yeah, I thought that was at best a coin flip penalty.
Matt, your thoughts on any of that?
My candidate for the old dumbbell of the week would be Jeff Saturday, because all we do, Gilda, use one of your lines here of we bet on this stuff.
Yeah.
All we do all week long is sit there and handicap this game that they have decided basically what it looks like to punt on the season. They're going to start Sam Ehlinger because they're third best quarterback, by the way. Like, they're going to do all this. So we look at this game from a completely different lens than if, they're going to try and win this game because they're going to start Matt Ryan. Like, this is like, what are they doing? Why are you trying to win? You shouldn't be trying to win, but whatever. But yeah, so we spend 5 days handicapping a game that when it comes around to it, it means absolutely nothing because you wouldn't have looked at the game the same way at all after they had come out and said they were going to start Sam Ehlinger. So for me, I'll give it to Jeff Saturday.
I was pissed. I'll be honest. I was pissed. Not only because I betted, not only because I added in a contest and all that, but also even beyond what you were saying, because you're right. They were saying it was Ehlinger. But, like, imagine if you're Frank Reich and the owner, Jim Irsay, was like, you will now play Sam Ehlinger. You are not allowed to play Matt Ryan because there are financial implications, right? Matt Ryan fails a physical next year. It costs him millions and millions of dollars. I think eight figures of millions. And so it's like the RG3 thing when he ended in Washington. You're not going to play anymore because we can't risk you being injured because we're not taking the financial hit. And yet Saturday comes strolling and like, here, take him. Here's Matt Ryan. Go ahead, play him. And none of us knew a damn thing. By the way, when did you find out about Josh Allen? A minute before the game started? Like 45 minutes before?
Well, I mean, I had I have this highly curated Twitter list or whatever.
You do.
So I did have a beat reporter who said, oh, by the way, he is over on the side now taking snaps from the starting center on the side. And so that was probably about, 35-ish, 40 minutes before game time or something. But again, by that point, it had already, I had missed all the swings and everything like that. I mean, that was wild too. But for sure, the Jeff Saturday thing was just a wasted handicap for me. It's like I spent all week long and trying to figure things out. And it just, none of it even mattered.
Yeah, this will all suck if we don't know who's playing quarterback.
Yeah,
this will all really be a bunch of nonsense. I just want to say one other thing. This doesn't have to do with dumbbell, but we'll go back to the Philly game. And I'm going to give credit, Jeff Hoos. You remember Jeff, Matt, who used to run the Aria Sportsbook? We love Jeff. Jeff is hilarious, by the way, and super smart and super good guy who now works over at FanDuel in Minnesota. But I give him credit because he was the first person to say this to me. So you know how Hail Marys have now given way to the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo, as Scott Van Pelt calls it. And so we saw it at the end of the Philadelphia-Washington game. Didn't affect the preflop point spread.
They haven't given way. They haven't given way. They just do it when it's too far. If it's too far if you're starting your own 15 or 20 yard line, you can't do a Hail Mary. That's when the pitchy stuff starts. Doesn't start if you're at like the 50.
That's correct.
You still throw it in the
okay. What? Poor. That's correct. Poor choice of words, but I'm getting to a point that has to do with that. So, you know, the fact is they appear to be happening more often than ever before. And what specifically appears to be happening more often than ever before is the defense is actually converting these into touchdowns at a much higher rate than they used to. Will you grant me that, Todd? Do you believe that? You don't believe that?
No.
You don't believe the pitchy-pitchy woo?
It happens. It's happened for forever. And
I disagree, but that's not the point either. Okay, the point is this. What Jeff used to say, because this affects bettors, right? It affected in-game totals for people, right? Some people had the under 52.5 or whatever they had, and it got squashed. His whole thing is this. He goes, he believed, like I do, that this is happening way more often than it used to. And he says they should have a rule that when a lateral or fumble with 0-0-0 is left on the clock, is recovered after the clock goes to those numbers, that the play is ruled officially dead at the end of football games. So
it's ridiculous.
You think it's ridiculous?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We're betting on this stuff. And at some point, that stuff...
Sometimes it goes for you and sometimes it goes against you. You know, that's the deal.
All right. He's just saying, for the sake of the betting community, he's like, we got to institute this. Because I kind of get it. Because it is the equivalent of football players pulling the goalie. Because the point is that when the ball is loose and when the defense player gets the ball, the offensive team just stops playing because they have nothing left to play for. They're not thinking about our bets. So anyway, that was his idea. And I the more I see it, the more I'm like, you know, he might have been onto something.
It's
a football game. It can't be changed into a gambling game. Come on.
I love the idea. When it goes to 0-0, say it's done.
I think I'm with Todd on this.
I love it.
I think I'm with Todd on this.
Jeff Hoos is a genius.
Gil, one more thing. I mean, outside of the in-game stuff, like a whole bunch of pregame stuff too, because if you played a same game teaser in that one, if you took the points with Washington and then the under 49,
that also
even pre-flop stuff got affected by that as well.
I cannot wait for Todd to get beaten on one of these and then to revisit this subject.
Second. You don't think I've gotten beaten on them? I've gotten beat on them many times.
I'm going to murder you the next time it happens.
I've won on them and I've lost on them. I actually won on one earlier this year and I've lost on them as well. It goes both ways and it happens. And it doesn't happen more times this year. It happened last year, the year before, a zillion times. I remember a million times this happened.
I'm commissioning a study. I commission you to do the study to see if it's happening more often.
I'm going to be able to go through all the things.
I want you to
try to figure out every time there was a pitchy thing at the end and whether or not it rolled.
We have to set the parameters.
I remember one in a playoff game. Wasn't there one in the Cardinals Eagles playoff game? I remember that.
Raiders one that like caused playoff spot or something. Remember or contest. Remember people were at the end of Circa Millions or at the time the Westgate Super Contest. It was the last week of a season and there was like a Raiders Eagles game, I want to say, where something happened on a pitchy pitchy woo woo and it caused hundreds of thousands of dollars to shift.
You have to know that if you have a bet and they kick the ball off and the ball's down at the 12-yard line,
off.
You are not
fuck
safe.
Off. There's
you
no way you
are
can
not safe, and you know you're not safe. If you've watched these games before, you know you're not safe.
Oh, imagine being that dude who loses on that. All right, you have an in-game expertise from last week that you want to share with us?
You know, I had a bunch. I didn't do great on my in-game this past week. I will say that I did do something really stupid. I took under 3.5 in the first quarter when I thought it was still Sam Ehringer playing quarterback before I looked up and realized, wait, that's not him.
What about when Sam Ehringer didn't play? What about when that guy didn't play?
That guy too.
Yeah.
That guy too. And then I look up and I'm like, oh my God, no, it's Matt Ryan. Oh no, what did I do? And then I should have won.
And you hate Matt Ryan, so that's what makes that ridiculous.
Oh yeah, and then I look up and I realize, oh my God, it's Matt. I would have never made this under 3.5 first quarter bet.
All of a sudden, respect for Matt Ryan.
So they throw it up. Well, look, I can't stand Matt Ryan, but comparing him to this running back kid from Texas is ridiculous. So it's like third down and goal from like the 10 or 11 yard line. They throw a little dinker out to the side. The Raiders are supposed to just come up and tackle him and kick the field goal, and I'm going to win easily. But because the Raiders are the Raiders and one of the worst defensive teams in football, they let the guy get away and then they get the touchdown. So that one drove me crazy. I did take the Bills at the end of regulation, -110. And I was trying to figure out whether I made a good or a bad bet there. I felt like, I took them after they fell behind by 3 in overtime. And I thought at -110, I think they're for sure going to get the field goal and they may get the touchdown to win it. So I thought there was at least a little over a 50% chance that they would get the touchdown to win it. Worst case scenario, I was going to get the field goal. And then, of course, Josh Allen throws the interception. I don't know what you guys think, whether you think that was a good bet or not.
I do. I think everybody was like, oh, they're totally going down in scoring.
Just doing the show in the middle of all that, as soon as Buffalo went down and kicked the field goal at the end of regulation, it's like, oh, Minnesota blew their opportunity to win this game. I would have made I think that was
so this a was good, after Minnesota took the lead.
Even so, I still think that was a good bet. Minnesota wasn't really stopping them unless if Allen did something stupid, and that's exactly what happened.
That's what I thought. And they did get into field goal range. So
Allen's been doing some stupid stuff the last couple of weeks, man. Those picks have been awful.
Sure, teams are starting to be able to confuse him, Gil. That's all it is.
Leads the league in turnovers.
God bless. I mean, if you do your power rankings, they can't be number one anymore, right?
No.
Closer to 10 than one now.
Well, I don't know about that, but they're certainly not one after two stinkers. By the way, that game, it should be pointed out, this game between Buffalo and Cleveland, as we're doing this on Thursday morning, we still have no idea where that game's going to be played because they're expecting big-time snow in Buffalo. And the speculation as we do this Thursday morning Pacific time is that they could move the game. If there's so much snow, they're going to make this decision on Friday. So whatever we say about that game, if it comes up, take it with a grain of salt. We don't know where it's going to be played at this point. Could be Detroit. We were sort of speculating off air. I don't know. Syracuse, Toronto. I don't know. Apparently,
that's a great thing that you're bringing up right now because I was thinking, are the bets going to stand on the total?
Depends on the book.
42. What?
Yeah. So I was actually going to get to this, but we jumped forward. So let's go ahead and do it now. I played the under 47 just on Monday because I saw all the stuff about snowpocalypse. But then when it hit 41.5 yesterday, I came back in and played on the over for a couple of different reasons. One, the weather report looks like this stuff is supposed to move out on Saturday morning. Now, that's not to say it's not going to snow on Sunday as well, but like the worst of it should supposedly be gone. But for the same thing that you brought up, Gil, is like, depending on where you look, guys, and specifically for you rest of country people out there, DraftKings, it's no harm, no foul, right? It says their house rules. If a game venue is changed and the home team remains designated as such, bets will stand. It's at Circa, though. If the venue is moved by more than 100 miles, the bet is canceled. At Caesars, at Caesars rest of country, it says, in all sports with the exception of boxing and mixed martial arts, if a change in venue or court surface for tennis, if you're doing that, occurs from the originally scheduled location, there will be no action on the wager and the wager will be refunded. So this is a very, very, very different rule at every single book out there. So like, so
that's a free roll.
So you have to see.
That's a free roll, in my opinion, right, Matt?
Yeah. So you have to see where you're betting.
If you take the over at a place that they're going to say that the bet's going to stand, right? It's not going to be lower than where it is right now. So basically, you can bet the over at a place where it's going to stand. If you get the venue change, you're going to get a tremendous amount of value because the line is going to immediately shoot to 47. If you don't get the venue change, you can get out of the bet anyways if you really want to early on the in-game or whenever.
Do it immediately.
That bounce that you're talking about, that's what we were speculating this morning on a numbers game with Kelly Bidlin. It's like, isn't that going to bounce to, if they decide, let's say it's Detroit, indoors, it's going to bounce to at least where it was before, right?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be 50 indoors.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think 48, 49. So,
So the places that allow you to keep the bet, I would just say you should go there and bet it. You might as well, right?
when did we get to the point in our lives? This is the old when we were kids portion of the show. When did we get to the point where they moved these games? Like they said in 2014, apparently we moved a Buffalo game. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember that one. That was Jets Buffalo, and they moved it to a Monday night. Kyle Orton and the Bills beat the Jets by roughly 9,000 points.
Oh, now that you say Kyle Orton, but here's the thing: when we were kids. They wouldn't have moved this, right?
No.
They'd have just played it.
Well, and remember, they had the one in Philly where they ended up playing on the Tuesday.
Right. Yeah.
And then the Vikings with Joe Webb beat the Eagles, who were good. Like, we've had a bunch of weird ones the last 10, 15 years.
Your generation is soft, Jeff Parles.
Hey, no argument there, Gil.
We also used to have rain delays in football games.
Remember
when there was no rain delays in football games and there would go through lightning and thunder and everything? Nobody used to get lightning. It was fine.
Yeah, one last thing about this one is I think they probably would have just moved it to Monday, but if you guys remember, the Bills play on Thanksgiving. So it's one of those things where they probably would have just moved it to Monday, but I think that's why they're looking at maybe moving the whole venue, because you can't really bump it back and have the Bills play on Monday and then turn around and play again on Thursday.
By the way, just one last in-game notion, and this is just a broad one. It's not like I did anything genius, but that Philadelphia-Washington game, I wanted no part of pre-flop, but when it got to 7-7, I was like, okay, I'll jump in on the preflop number. The number was essentially the same at that point. Philadelphia even scored again to make it 14-7. When it got to 14-10, Washington had the ball. First half number was still +4.5. Sort of deep into the second quarter, the preflop on the full game was still about a touchdown, giving Washington 7 points. Made another couple bets. Early in the third quarter, made another couple bets on Washington. The point being that sometimes there are games where, like, I wouldn't even consider a preflop bet, but even if you just watch a couple drives, as we've said so many times, it can honestly change your thinking. And sometimes it works out beautifully like that.
And in that game, Gil, I feel like I got a little bit robbed, because when they fell down 9, when the Eagles went down 9, the line was Eagles +2, and I took Eagles +2, figuring, okay, the Eagles might lose this game, but they're definitely going to come back and get a touchdown. And they, you know, I would argue they could have easily covered the +2 or at least pushed it. But anyways, you make a good point. Sometimes on these when the big dog shows the ability to move the football and they're not getting dominated, very often the books are too slow to realize, hey, wait a second, this team figured out something on their game plan, which Washington clearly did, which was, let's do the 17 play drive and keep them off the field. You know, you can get down a lot.
No, I mean, there was even a 16 in there.
Yeah.
During the middle of the game. I mean, they were just, and Todd brings up a great point. It happens with double digit dogs. It just happens all the time.
Washington cares, man. That team, I know we don't usually get into the nebulous sort of non-quantitative stuff of, does this team care? This team, but you watch the Raiders lollygagging upfield.
They don't give anything.
You know, chasing Matt Ryan. And then you watch Washington, you're like, oh man, this team really loves playing with Taylor Heinicke.
I know we've already said it and you just finished the point with it, but there was only one human being, or maybe two human beings, that thought Carson Wentz was better than Heinicke for this team. Carson Wentz himself and Snyder. That's it. And it's shown up already that Washington went from, hey, this might be one of the worst teams in the league, to, hey, if things break their way, they might accidentally make the playoffs at this point.
Amazing. That the NFC East could all make it of all divisions.
It's in play.
All right, Todd, you had a great week. I had a terrible week. What's the new updated numbers now?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21+ only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Yeah, the numbers are tightening as Gilly went 0-3 to move to 20-10. Still extremely solid on the year, but a very difficult week. Jeffrey went, I believe, 1-2, right, Jeffrey?
That is correct.
Moved to 18-12. And I went 3-0 to also move to 18-12. So I'm tied with Jeffrey right now.
It's all tight.
Sneaky freaky brother sneaking in from the rear.
And the guest seat is now at 17-13. So everybody's doing pretty well. On the teasers, we're still struggling, but the numbers are coming up a little bit. You and Jeffrey are at 4-6. I'm at 2-8. The guest seat is at 7-3 on the
guest
teaser.
Seat is 7-3 on teasers?
Yes.
That's the upset of the year right there. 7-3 on teasers.
Well, because, you know, Brent went with the Commanders plus 17 and Seattle plus 8.5. That was a winner. So the Commanders, you know, moving it to through the big key numbers of 13, 14, and 16.5, of course.
All right. So 20-10, 18-12, 18-12, and 17-13. This is a good season of this show.
Nothing wrong with it.
All right. Thursday night football before we get to our best bets. Any thoughts on, and Matt, we'll start with you, any thoughts on the Titans and the Packers tonight? Titans have a whole bunch of defensive injuries again tonight. They're 3-point dogs at Green Bay. They were able to overcome those injuries against the woeful Broncos offense, but what about tonight?
Yeah, we're seeing a bunch of 3.5 start to pop now. I think a lot of people are looking at what you just brought up and starting to realize this Titans team is going to have a lot of defensive issues, I believe, in this one. I hate myself that I missed the 2.5 on this.
Me
you can
too.
Still get you can still get expensive threes out there, and I don't hate it, I guess. I'm thinking my strategy is going to be just pray that Tennessee gets the ball first, and I can get something under 3 in favor of the Packers, but nothing in the account yet. I hate that I missed the 2.5.
Toddy?
I'm sorry.
No, he's not even there. I'm sorry. I wasn't looking. You go ahead. I'm like, Todd, where are you?
I just want to see if Tennessee can do the exact same thing they did against Kansas City for a half, where basically they don't let Green Bay possess the ball. Now, it's a lot different because the Packers offense, even with the last week in the fourth quarter, finally looking like an Aaron Rodgers offense, mostly because Christian Watson played his ass off last week. But it's just one of those where I'm kind of in the same boat as Matt. If Tennessee gets up in this game, come back on Green Bay live.
Yeah.
But a pre-flop, I'm not going to do anything here.
I think just from a prop standpoint, I mean, I think that if the Titans don't run Derrick Henry 28 times in this game, I think they're doing something wrong. His prop currently set right now at 21.5 carries. So I don't know necessarily about yardage. Look, Green Bay's defense is not good against the run, but I think if they don't use him at volume in this game, then they have done something incredibly wrong. It's supposed to be like 25 degrees there, by the way, as well. So doesn't really help the pass game all that much. So that to me seems almost like the best angle is just assuredly he's going to get a bunch of carries in this game.
Seems logical. Last week, by the way, the Titans beat the Broncos without 5 defensive starters, including Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, Bud Dupree. Christian Fulton got scratched pregame, and then they lost 3 guys during the game, still sacked Wilson 6 times. And then tonight, no Bud Dupree again, no Amani Hooker, no Lonnie Johnson, who's a defensive back, no Ben Jones, their center, and no Randy Bullock. So Josh Lambeau, who I didn't even know was playing for Tennessee.
It's not a bad thing. Bullock's out.
Yeah, he's playing for them. And I guess Simmons is questionable. Packers will not be with Joshua Dobbs. Bakhtiari's questionable. Devondre Campbell also out for the Packers. Todd, you okay? You all right, man?
Yeah, it's just, you know, when you eat a lot of vegetables and fruits and you drink a lot, you have to pee.
Todd, weight update now that you're no longer doing the weight loss challenge. You're over 200 now?
Yeah, I'm right about 200. I mean, I didn't want to be really 194, so I wanted to get a little bit, you know, more, because it's just too small, 194.
Matt, if I may, I've never asked Matt this question, but Matt is always working out. What is your height and weight, Matt?
I am 6'1", 177.
Man, those days are behind me. 6'1 was never, I was never quite to 6'1. That I never got to. Okay. Best bets time? Are we there? Or any other thoughts on this game?
No, I think we have to with the timing here.
Best bets. We'll snake this. Matt, number one from you, sir.
Vikings, 1.5 at home. I'll take the points versus the Cowboys. Listen, this is, in my opinion, wrong team favorite. Everybody, you know, the narrative all week, guys, was, well, if Josh Allen hadn't have fumbled on the 1 yard, you know, at the goal line, then they would have lost outright.
Oh, there's so many things that happened.
There are 8,000 things in that game.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that is what people want to come away with whenever they want to tell you how bad the Vikings are, as opposed to the Vikings didn't get in from first and goal at the 3-yard line, and including a 1-inch sneak by Kirk Cousins on 4th and 1. Like, that didn't convert.
So multiple times they didn't get in first and goal. Yeah.
It's like, I could have easily just reversed the narrative here of like, well, the Vikings didn't get in, that's how the Bills won or whatever. So, I mean, look, it's how everybody wants to frame this. Everybody wants to continue to say that this Vikings team isn't any good. And I think, Gil, whenever it comes down to it, and you and I doing the show last year, we talked about this ad nauseum, but these close games, the Vikings lost last year.
Yes.
And they get rid of Zimmer and they bring in O'Connell, and now they're winning these close games. And I honestly believe at some point, and you know, I love advanced statistics more than just about anybody. I'm all over all of this stuff. Some of this stuff you can't quantify, and some of the stuff I can't get advanced statistics for. And one of those things is, what does the guy on the sideline mean? How much does he matter, and how much does he change things? And they're winning these games now that they used to lose. And so I believe that O'Connell and the coaching staff around has got this team in optimal situations to where they are not losing these games that they lost last year. And now you bring in a team in the Cowboys that has now given up back-to-back games of getting just absolutely gouged on the ground. They allowed over 200 yards rushing in back-to-back games now. And here comes Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison to go in and take advantage of that. And, oh, by the way, Kirk Cousins and this Justin Jefferson kid, I don't know if you guys heard of him. He's pretty good. He's pretty good, too.
Where'd he go to school, man? I'm curious.
Yeah, just, you know, a little LSU Tiger. Now the two best catches of all time in the NFL are both from LSU Tigers. So there is that going on as well. But the other thing that is very interesting to me about this game, and then I'll kick the floor to you guys, but is over the last 2 weeks, everybody's talking about, like, we have season long numbers that we focus on and saying, like, you know, this offense, it's middle of the pack. It's not great. It's middle of the pack for this Vikings team. Yada, yada, yada. Well, they go out and they acquire TJ Hockenson 2 weeks ago. Over the past 2 weeks, Justin Jefferson's ADOT, which is average depth of target for people that don't know, ADOT is 13.58 yards. And he has accounted for 47.5% of the team's air yards. Through week 8, before the acquisition of TJ Hockenson, it was 8.1 yards, ADOT, and 38% of the air yards. So what we're getting is TJ Hockenson is now able to run those routes over the middle and do this stuff and get the attention of these guys over the middle, because he's a competent receiver that people have to account for. And it's allowing them to take these shots down the field with Justin Jefferson more. So I think this offense is only going to get better moving forward through all of this. And it's just, you know, I have no confidence at all in this Cowboys offense. Look, defense is good. Offense, not so good. Give me 1.5 all day long with this Viking squad.
I am absolutely thrilled that Matt Brown made the exact point I made about 3 weeks ago to Rufus and I personally did not get the answer I was looking for from Rufus on that, because there is no stat. And one of my picks later will be the same sort of thing with the guy on the sidelines. There is no number that accounts for competent coaching, period. Like, again, I hated Mike Zimmer by the end. I thought he was good at the beginning of the tenure in Minnesota, changed the franchise's culture, and then by the end they were stuck in 1996.
Yep.
And now Kevin O'Connell, and look, they don't blow you away, but they're winning all these close games.
All the Plinko chip is landing in the right slot this year. 7 wins in a row, all by one possession. They trailed in the fourth quarter in 5 of those 7 games. They've rallied to win when trailing with 2.5 minutes or less remaining in regulation for the 5th time this season, this past week, overcoming a 17-point third quarter deficit. And I mean, first of all, I think it's the best catch I've ever seen. Let me just say that. You don't usually think you're going to ever say a superlative like that. But given the circumstances, 4th and 18 with 2 minutes left and only one timeout in pocket, they don't convert that, game over.
Game over.
The fact that he was, Justin Jefferson was parallel to the ground with his arm perpendicular to the ground, and the defender kind of helped him to keep it up in the off the ground. It's just amazing. But let me just say this. First of all, it's my number one pick too, the Vikings. So we don't have to get to my number one because that's my number one. On guessing lines on Monday, Kelly couldn't, you know, Kelly has access to what my guesses are before the show starts. So he couldn't wait for this game to come up because he knew my guess was Minnesota -3. And so we got to it. I was like, Minnesota -3. I don't know what the line is. And Chrissy was like, well, I like your number better. Mine's Minnesota -1.5, -2. And he said, Dallas is favored by -1.5. And this is why Kelly couldn't wait, because he's like, I had the same guess you did. Like, losing his mind. And the fact that it has stayed that way all week is amazing to me. Minnesota's.
Well, maybe the reason it stayed this way all week is the fact that the Cowboys have a very, very vicious pass rush, and there's a guy who plays quarterback for Minnesota who's not very elusive in the pocket and has a tendency to blow up. So while I appreciate what everyone's saying from the Minnesota backers that they're playing better and blah, 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 they still have Kirk Cousins as the quarterback. So you know what? I'm not going to get all excited about him.
I will say this about Kirk Cousins. I will grant you this. Have you ever seen a quarterback with more passes in the air where you're like, oh, that's a duck. There's no way it's getting to the receiver. No way. Especially you do the little velocity thing in your head where you're like, no, that's not going to get. And somehow it's fucking gotten there all year long. It's amazing.
Also, going back to the Jefferson catch real quick, and I know Todd will have his first pick. The fact that he, even with that way his body was contorted, the fact that the defender had two hands on the damn football.
It's amazing.
And Jefferson still came down with it.
Amazing.
At the time I thought, okay, the Odell catch was still better. After watching him back Jefferson catch was better.
And that Hockenson point is so good, Matt, because Jefferson had a great first half of the first game. He kind of was like, kind of meh for a long stretch after that.
Yeah, yeah, and if we want one more thing to move in our favor here, Stephen Jones on radio yesterday talking about Zeke's going to be back.
You know, there we go.
So great for us. I mean, like, make the offense less efficient. Fine, yeah. Put him out there, give him his dozen carries, and have him get 2.7 yards a carry. I'm perfectly fine with that.
By the way, that's a great point about the Cowboys. The Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones by proxy, the trying to will into existence the justification of both Dak's contract, but especially Zeke's contract, is one of the great recurring themes in the NFL. Like, nope, he's our guy. We go as far as Zeke gets us. Okay, keep doing that. Todd, what's your number one?
I'm going to go against the what do you have for the Commanders Texans?
3.
Okay, I'm going to take the Texans +3. I saw.
How dare you?
The Washington's coming off the huge win. Obviously, that's a huge win. That I don't think they really deserve the win, but okay, fine. They got the win. +3. You're now asking them to go on the road and win by 3. The Texans are playing a little better. That whole game against the Giants, they were a lot closer. That game could have pulled that off, that Texans game. And that was on the road. Now they're at home. We all know Jeff Parles has told us that Davis Mills is one of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks when he is at home.
Yeah.
And I just think that the Texans, it's another one of those scenarios where I like to go against teams that are mediocre-ish when they're laying points on the road. And the Texans aren't as bad as everyone thinks they are. You know, they're at home this week. I'm getting 3 points. The Commanders are coming off a crazy, crazy win. Short week. Give me the Texans +3. Commanders win at 21-19. No problem.
Bill Barnwell did a great piece at ESPN this morning about lucky and unlucky teams in the NFL. And the Giants, I mean, people, even Giants fans would admit it's been a really good stroke of fortune arc to the entire season, but he quantifies it. There's just so many things. That Houston game was a perfect example of it.
They could easily lost the game about four different times.
They were knocking at the door multiple times in that game. Just couldn't do it.
If you had Houston last week, yeah, you're aggravated you didn't get home. You should have got home about seven different times.
What's your number one, Jeff?
My number one pick is a principal pick for myself.
I like principal
picks. There is no betting logic to this. But it's about time the New York Jets go to New England and beat the bastards in their own building.
That's one of mine,
so
too.
So I'm taking the Jets plus the Todd, are you giving me 3.5 here with the Jets?
I mean, I see all three minus 20s, but, you know, whatever you want to say.
Let me see.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what it is.
I see plenty of 3.5s. Plenty of 3.5s.
Okay, all right. It doesn't matter. If he gave me three, he gave me two. It doesn't matter. The New York Jets, they are the better football team here. I know what happened 3 weeks ago. Zach Wilson imploded and New England Patriots won that game. If John Franklin Myers doesn't massacre Jones on what should have been a pick six, the Jets are up double digits and that game is over. That is a totally different game, a totally different look at, hey, the Jets are really good. Probably they don't beat Buffalo the next week, but regardless, they are the better football team. They are getting more than a field goal on the road at a team that really has no offense to speak of. And the Jet defense has been good to great the last month now. I'll take the 3.5. And if New England beats me, New England beats me.
I don't really have to add much, apparently, on this show, because that is my number two. I guessed, for those who listen to Guessing Lines, you will know what my guess was. It was New England minus 2.5. I couldn't believe that it was 3.5. John Legesa was actually on a numbers game this morning. He was going through the advantages the Jets had, and wait for it. He said, Salah over Belichick.
That's not right.
Which I thought might have been taking it a step too far. But yes, I just think let me just say this about the Patriots. And here's where this bet could go wrong. I think of all the teams in the NFL, if I think of all 32 teams, we don't often look at teams through this prism. But the Patriots are the one team where I think they're a totally different football team when they take a lead versus when they're behind.
Oh, 100%.
So if they take a lead, we could be screwed from the beginning of the game. But if they are in a nip and tuck game or they fall behind, they become a vastly worse football
team. Well, that game in the Meadowlands a few weeks ago fell apart when New England got their lead.
Right.
Because they went down the field, scored an opening drive touchdown in the second half.
Just how they're built. Yes.
And the flip switched defensively for New England, and Wilson turned into the guy he was for the majority of last year.
And a lot of that for me is that Mac Jones is not proving to be the guy that some thought he would be.
Right. No, I had no argument there.
Yeah, I my only thing is that Patriots defense, though, it's no joke, and it's still Zach Wilson at quarterback.
It is.
That's my
great
only,
pass rusher still.
Listen, since week five, New England's defense, number one defense in the NFL EPA per play, number one defense in the NFL success rate, number one defense in dropback EPA, number one defense in dropback success rate, number three defense in rush EPA. Like, they have not allowed a lot since the first month of the season. So that's my only kind of drawback to that, is that it is a Belichickian defense going up against Zach Wilson.
But and you know what? But I hear you on all that. I still think a lot of that plays into the point I was making, though. I think when they're up, their defense can play a certain way also that they can't otherwise. I mean, I just think it all is sort of this just sort of, you know, thing that spirals or snowballs. That's the word I'm looking for. Snowballs with them either way.
And for what it's worth here, the Jets, at this moment, I think the Jets do have a better defense than New England. Even with how good New England has been, I think part of that is, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, in those stats, that 29-0 game against Detroit is in there as well, correct? They have the Detroit game and the game against Ellinger, I'm pretty sure. So you have two games, and you have the Wilson game where he imploded. So you had three games where Goff totally imploded and couldn't do anything, and St. Brown didn't play. Ellinger's not an NFL quarterback, and Zach Wilson imploded. That's what my biggest concern is, that Wilson implodes again, but I don't think he will.
He's absolutely concerned. Number two from you.
I'm taking the New York Giants laying the three against the Lions. I know this is going to be a square favorite with the Giants. How can the Giants only be three at home?
But that's the
against
thing.
The Lions.
The market does not overrate them.
Right. The market appropriately rates them. But here's the deal. What did it take last week for Detroit to win that football game against Chicago?
Don't remind
you
me.
You and I both had the Bears. The Bears had the ball up 14 in the fourth quarter and lost in regulation. So it took basically a total horrible interception by Fields for the
pick
six.
Horrible.
And then a missed PAT.
Yes.
Basically is what derailed that game even more than the pick six, really.
And then an eight-play, 91-yard drive, just, oh, by the way.
Again, look, the Giants' defense is much better than Chicago's. The game is at home. Detroit does not play well on the road, even with the win last week. They're still a bad road team when you get them outside in the cold. I think the Giants are just a better football team. And again, what Matt Brown said earlier about there is no stat that takes care of how good the guy on the sideline is. This is a massive coaching advantage for the Giants in this game.
Who's your coach of the year right at this moment?
Right at this moment?
After the Eagles lost.
I still have Sirianni, but it is really close.
Yeah.
So, playing three with the Giants.
Dodd, two.
I'm going to go with over 44 in the Eagles game. Eagles and Colts. I think that I just think this is too low. The Eagles, you know, they can score with the best of them. You know, even when they were stopped last week, they kind of stopped themselves. And I just think they're going to score against the Colts. I'm not impressed with the Colts defense. I mean, they were letting the Raiders go up and down the field on them, and somehow they won that game. And I think with Ryan is playing, right? It's not going
to
be Aaron.
I mean, you have to assume he is, right?
Yeah. Imagine if they went to Ellinger now. We'll go with Ellinger again. Yeah.
Right. With Matt Ryan, I think he's good enough to put some points up on the board against the Eagles, because I think the Eagles, you know, they have a good defense, but it's not great. I think they can score some points against them. So I could see the Eagles, and I think the Eagles are going to be nasty this week after that loss. So I kind of think that we could see, you know, 35-14 Eagles or something like that. So give me over 44 in the Eagles game.
You're not worried about the Colts seeing what Washington did and then Jonathan Taylor just doing that to the Eagles again, like long sustained drives?
Yeah, but even with that, it still almost went over. I mean, it did end up going over, but
yeah,
actually it went over even before the pitch game. So, you know, I don't know. I just feel like the Eagles are going to score a lot of points this week, and the Colts are not going to just get totally shown the door with no points at all. So give me the over 44.
Mateo, we snake with you, so you get 2 and 3 here.
Yeah, so I am taking the -5.5 with the Chiefs at the Chargers. I mean, look, we can call it a road game. It's a road game-esque, right? I mean, whatever. Chiefs don't get to play at home, but it's certainly not going to be some kind of crazy crowd or anything like that. Home field advantage has been diminishing as it is anyway. And so I don't think you're giving the Chargers really anything for home field. I mean, this thing moving under the 6 was kind of wild to me on the news that Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were practicing. Well, it's kind of like, I mean, it's like, yeah, well, Keenan Allen has practiced like every week, every week for the season and has not been able to play. And then Mike Williams is coming off of one of the worst injuries you can have for a wide receiver and a high ankle sprain. And so even if Keenan Allen plays, he admitted when he tried to play a couple of weeks ago, he felt no explosiveness in his hamstring, which is why he pulled himself out of the game. So what are we going to get out of him anyway? A few packages here and there, some special stuff. He's certainly not going to be out there for a full complement of snaps. And probably the same thing with Mike Williams as well. And you take a look at this Chiefs team that just continues to hum. Offensive efficiency off the charts. Defense is actually playing really well along the way too. I mean, listen, the only reason they haven't even been blowing teams out even more is just their red zone has been so bad. And variance, I think, eventually will come back around, and they're not going to be continuing to just move it at will between the 20s and then get inside the 20 and then not be able to figure out how to get it in the end zone. So, plus, let's not forget, with this Chargers team, just completely decimated on the defensive side of the ball. They lose more people this week.
Jeez.
Again, they released Jerry Tillery. Christian Covington lost for the season with a torn pec. They already have two other defensive linemen that are lost for the season. I mean, it's just, the defense is just a shell of what we thought coming into this year. I was the biggest Chargers flag waver and everything heading into this season. They were the preseason Super Bowl pick to be in the Super Bowl for me. I mean, I'm wrong. You can't predict all these injuries and stuff. And so the other thing I thought was fairly interesting, and Andy Reid, I think, is one of the better coaches and better offensive minds in all the NFL. And it's proven that time and time again. So last week against the Jags, basically the Chiefs were having a little bit of trouble running the ball. And so he just ran 11 personnel 74% of the time, and then just started running out of the 11 personnel more because you got the lighter defense out there. And so what it equaled to was a positive EPA per rush, their highest of the season when running the ball. And I think that he's just this guy that is able to continue to adapt and figure things out as the season moves on, where a lot of these coaches can't do that, which is why this Chiefs team continues to be good year and year and year and year over and over and over again. When I thought they'd take a step back this year, I really do. Under the six, I thought was just kind of wild.
As opposed to Brandon Staley, who I know this sticks in my craw because I had a first half bet on the Chargers in game. when Justin Herbert got hit by Dre Greenlaw in the head and he had to sit out. And at the end of that first half, so Chase Daniels in, so I was holding -3.5. I needed a field goal. Because it was a 3-point deficit at that 3-point lead at that point, and I had -3.5. And I'm like, okay, well, Chase Daniels in, they're just going to like run the football and they're just going to set up a field goal. No, like he has Chase Daniels like throwing the ball around the yard. I'm like, what are you doing? Just amazing. Boy, speaking about being wrong on somebody, can I raise my hand about Brandon Staley? Am I allowed to do
that? Oh, you and me both.
Yeah.
You and
all me both. Of us.
Him and McVay were the quickest to get crowned. And I mean, listen, so I think we were all wrong on that. So not just you, my friend,
Thank you.
My third pick, I'll go with my fourth pick, because my third pick was actually Giants -3, but I'll just give a real quick rundown of, I do like the Bears at +3.5 against the Falcons. This is a Bears team.
Wait, did you see 3.5 or 3, guys?
Gil, I'm seeing mostly 3 -20 on Atlanta.
3 -115. I think it's a 3.
Oh, this has moved. Yeah. I mean, I could go to Bet Rivers and I could get a 3.5, but you know, whatever. That's the only one, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I could run to Bet Rivers and get it. Well, I like it much more at 3.5 where it was this morning. Whenever we were, it's literally the screen's flashing in front of our eyes right now. Is to go taking the 3. Look, this Bears team, while frustrating and while certainly not good by any stretch of the imagination, I have these teams power rated fairly equally. So if you're going to give me what I thought was more than a field goal, but even if it is a field goal at this point, I guess I'll take the push. Against the Falcons team, gets no pass rush whatsoever. So I think there's this misconception that Justin Fields has gotten much, much better as a quarterback. He's gotten much, much better as a runner, and they're calling better plays suited for him. But
yes,
the passing has not been all that great. Right? So it's like he didn't. The scheme is much better. He has not been all that much better, but he is extremely, extremely night and day better when he does have time to throw. This Falcons team gets absolutely no pass rush whatsoever. They don't hit the quarterback. They get no pressure. They don't get sacks. And so I think that does favor this Bears team here. And again, we look at like home field advantage or something, but this new look Bears offense where they're running the ball so much and they're counting on the athleticism of Fields and all that, like, going inside in a dome, I actually think is almost more favorable to them than playing at home on that terrible Soldier Field, you know, on that terrible Chicago field and everything. So I'm not really even caring all that much. I think it's maybe even a slight uptick for this Bears team to play indoors on the turf. So I do like the Bears taking the points there. But again, my actual third pick was Giants -3.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
So which one are we counting as your official third pick then?
Oh, well, I mean, I was trying to get more insight on this, on the pod. I was trying to, you know, share the wealth here or whatever. You can put me for the Giants -3, okay. But I mean, the Bears is right there. The Bears is right there.
That's just a bonus pick. Giants -3 is his official third. By the way, that thing about the Bears and the Falcons, getting about a Barnwell's article, Falcons, one of the luckier teams in the league this year based on well-timed defensive performance, fumble recovery luck, and opposing special teams performance. They've been very lucky, for what that's worth. Todd, number three.
I mean, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel. This I hate this week, but Denver Broncos -2.5. Is that what you have?
That's
for
my number three.
I'm gonna take Denver Broncos.
That's my number three.
I don't like. I hate the Denver Broncos. I can't.
I guess 2.5 is good.
I hate the coach. I hate everything about them. They do play good defense, though. And this Raiders team is a joke. How you lose that game. I happen to have the Colts in game, and I was nervous as hell the whole rest of that game. But somehow they found a way to lose that game to the Colts. This Raiders, it's a joke. First of all, the defense is horrendous. The defense and the secondary is horrendous. I don't know what the metrics are, but you just watch the game. It's horrible. And so maybe Denver, who struggles offensively, will find a way to move the ball at home against a ridiculous Raiders defense. And the Raiders, I think they quit. I mean, this team looks really, really bad. How do you lose that game to the Colts? It's unbelievable.
Watch the replay of that Matt Ryan 33-yard run or whatever it was. Watch those guys lollygagging down the field. Yeah.
I don't know how you let Matt Ryan run. I mean, I had the Colts. I was holding my breath, you know, to get the win. But, you know, to me, any decent team would have beaten the Colts that day. It's ridiculous. I think the Raiders are done. And Denver has a good defense.
Great defense. Yes.
Denver at home with that defense, I think that will stymie the Raiders offensively. And we know the Raiders on the defensive end of the football are a disaster. So, you know, all I got to win by is three. Give me Denver. I mean, I don't like taking Denver. I hate taking Denver, but I have to. Denver -2.5.
Hey, you're going to need the 2.5, and the 2.5 is a good number because this game has 13-10 written all over it. Like nobody's business.
It does.
And you're going to cash it with the 13, with the 2.5, but good Lord, this has 13-10 written all over it.
The bet here is you're just hoping the Denver defense can outlast Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson now, he still has the escapability, but now after he escapes, he just chucks the ball downfield. He's like, whatever happens, happens.
I think it's pretty clear at this point that Russ's injuries are significantly worse than any of us imagined, Gil. Because a guy does not fall off the cliff this quickly, unless he's that injured. We've seen it before. We have. By the way, real quick. I know
you've seen it in tennis, in the tennis world, the LVI, Gilly Ice, fell off the cliff very quickly.
My God.
Also an injury, Todd. Also a devastating injury.
All right. So while
wait, can I add on to this, though?
Because
this is my
last pick. And then I got one thing.
Yeah, it's my I'm on Denver, too. That's my number three. A few things about the Raiders. 0-6 in one score games, which one would think would regress better. They've converted only 51.9% of their red zone trips, which one would think would get better. League 7th best offense by EPA per play outside the red zone. So that's why the red zone performance ought to get better based on that. But with all of that, where you're thinking that would regress positively, they've recovered nearly 69% of fumbles per Bill Barnwell. That's the league's top rate. So they've had stupid good fumble luck. Their offense,
except that one fumble against the Colts where they should have had it for sure.
and on offense, it's the opposite of their defense. So the offense on first and second down have been really good by EPA, expected points per play. Third and fourth down, no, excuse me, on first and second down, they've been really bad. Third and fourth, they've been really good, outperforming. So all that other stuff that we said was regress to the good, the fumble luck and that part should regress, you know, to the bad. And here's the other thing we talk about in basketball, this notion of free throw luck. Like, hey, what did the other team shoot free throw percentage against you? We're joking about free throw defense when we say that. Opposing kickers against the Raiders this year, 11 for 17.
Ooh.
So they've gotten like really lucky on that too, which our brains don't necessarily process when we're watching the Raiders. That's the worst conversion rate of an opposing team's field goal kicker all year. So it could have been even worse in many respects for the Raiders.
And, I feel and also the Raiders when they're winning is because they get the ball to Jacobs and he's running through massive holes. There ain't gonna be no massive holes against the Denver defense. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
No. I was just saying, Gil, just to kind of add to those stats, like you said, they just do point towards the Broncos here. Opponents have scored a touchdown 30% of drives against the Raiders this year. And also, how about this? Inside the red zone, teams are 72% touchdown rate against the Raiders. Jeez. It is absolutely insane. They just give up touchdowns whenever you get inside the 20 against this team. So again, some regression towards the positive, you would think, at least for the Broncos, just based off of opponent in this thing. And that total sitting at 41, guys. Denver games are 104 points below the total so far this year collectively.
Wow. That's awesome. That's the second best stat I've heard for the Broncos this week.
You can go ahead and say it. That's what I was gonna.
Well, this is what I texted you.
Yeah,
I texted you guys this stat, which is
the Broncos would be 8-1 if they scored 18 points.
Broncos had scored 18 points in every game in regulation, they would be 8-1 this year. That's incredible.
So Raiders team total under is probably a real good bet.
It's not a bad one.
It's your last one.
The only thing is the Raiders did score against Denver, but that was the only game that Denver's defense didn't do anything. I'll be quick with my last one because it's kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. I'm taking 13 with Carolina against the Baltimore Ravens. Baker Mayfield's playing for his NFL career at this point. And look, Carolina stinks. Baltimore's quite good and has this soft schedule, could end up being the number one overall seed in the AFC now with Buffalo losing two games. But Carolina has some pieces on that defense that I think they're going to be able at least to stay within two touchdowns here. So I'll take 13, and if Baltimore destroys them, then so be it.
Okay. We have a hard out here, so I want to get through these rapid fire. Survivor place for those who still are alive in their local survivor pool or whatever. Circa Survivor from 6,133 entries down to 86. If you have the Ravens left,
that's
the team to play.
Yeah.
If you don't have them left, God help you deciding, especially in Circa where the Bills have a Thanksgiving consideration.
But better call Hashem.
You take the Giants.
Better call Hashem.
In my opinion, the clear number two is the Niners this week. But that's just me.
Yeah, the Niners have a home game against New Orleans after Thanksgiving, though, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. But although there's a lot of easy ones, right? The Chiefs play the Rams at home. The Dolphins play the Texans at home the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So, yeah, Niners, what could possibly go wrong with a -8 road favorite at Arizona? That's another thing.
Like, that game's in Mexico
neutral.
City.
Neutral.
Mexico City. Yeah. That's right. Mexico City. Yeah. That's right. Okay, teaser of the week, Matt.
Yeah, it is that Niners team down to 2-point favorites in that neutral site game. And then I'm taking the Vikings up to 7.5. Love the Vikings. We already went over that. Yeah. Why I love the Vikings. I think this could be one-way traffic, this 49ers game against this Cardinals squad. 49ers certainly on the upswing here with every single thing getting much, much healthier. So Vikings plus 7.5, Niners minus 2.
We don't know if it's Kyler Murray yet or
correct.
Not. The Vikings has got to be the Vikings was it, for me. It was the Vikings, and let me find a dance partner for the Vikings. Mm. We'll get to mine. Todd,
Bills minus 2.5. I just think the Bills are going to have a bounce back week finally, and the Eagles minus 1. I just don't see them losing to the Colts.
What if they play in the snow though, Todd? What if they play in the snow?
They play the snow plays for both teams though. I think
Nick Chubb, Jeff.
All right, I know the math people will yell at me here, but
here we go.
But
violation.
The Jets up to 9.5, and I guess I'll take Minnesota with you guys as well, the 7.5.
I'm going Minnesota, and I'm going to take the Niners too. I mean, I wanted to take the Eagles, but there's just a little part of me that thinks the Jonathan Taylor thing can happen, so I'll take the Niners because I think Arizona sucks. All right.
They do stink.
And then the final two questions that we end each and every Megapod for all these years. The first of which is, which of the big favorites do you think is the most likely to lose outright? Candidates are Buffalo Bills, 8-point favorites hosting the Cleveland Browns. Philadelphia Eagles, 6.5-point favorites on the road at the Colts. Baltimore Ravens, 13-point favorites at home against the Panthers. And
the Bills.
I already said the Bills.
Bills, Colts.
I already said the Bills. Niners, 8-point favorites on the road against the Cardinals. Those are your choices.
Eagles as well, right?
I didn't include them because they're teetering on like 5.5.
I mean, there's mostly 6, aren't they?
Wait, did I say Eagles?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't say. I don't think you did.
Eagles are 7.
Yeah.
I believe I did say Eagles.
Okay.
I did say Eagles. Let me ask you guys a question, you Jeff and Todd. Do you guys wait for me to mess up on that? Or are you actually listening to what I'm saying?
I'm listening more than Todd usually. So.
Matt, yes.
Yeah.
Matt, which of those is the most likely to lose outright?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a no-brainer in this one for as far as the Bills, just because there's so much wackiness and stuff going on, right? I mean, like the weather, maybe they move the venue, maybe whatever. I mean, all kinds of stuff that just is weird about that game. So it's the Bills for me.
Todd.
I'm going to say Niners. I'm going to say Jimmy G could finally have guys catch his interception balls.
Parlay?
Niners.
Interception balls.
I'm going to say the Eagles.
Ooh, yeah. For me, it was between the – I would have said Eagles, but because of the wackiness of Buffalo, as Matt called it, I'll say Buffalo. But I would have said Eagles otherwise. And then we live in a bizarro world. You are forced to make a bet on the side of each and every game, but you are allowed one free pass. What is the game you want absolutely no part of, Matt?
Panthers Ravens. I struggle with these massive numbers, especially in these kind of lowish total games. And then even further, I think the Panthers defense, like, at least has a pulse. And I think Baker Mayfield at least has a pulse. And so, you know, look, the Ravens could be up 17 in the fourth quarter, right? And then, like, just a garbage score that means absolutely nothing to the Ravens whatsoever gets it under the number. So that one to me is just kind of wackadoodle. I don't like that one.
Toddy? Do it in a Yinzer voice. You haven't done Yinzer today.
I was just going to say the Bengals against the Stores, you know, it's a 425 start down here after. So Yinz aren't going to be able to just go right over to the stadium like early in the morning and that, because it'll be too early. So you're looking at a 425 start. You don't know what you're going to get with the weather and whatnot. The Bengals are the Bengals going to be able to protect Joe Burrow? Who knows? And then, you know, Kenny Pickett and whatnot, he's not exactly lighting it on fire. So, and plus, we don't even have a kicker no more. I'm staying away from that Star game.
Rams and Saints for me.
I'm with you, Todd. Bengals Steelers. I want zero part of that, because that TJ Watt just changes everything for the Steelers.
We've got a good defense in that, but we don't have no offense. I don't know what people are thinking. We don't even have a kicker no more.
No, Minka.
I don't know what happened to our kicker.
Minka's out too. Minka's out.
I'm not sure what the. I thought Minka was coming back.
Is he? All right.
Maybe I'm.
Hasn't been ruled out yet.
All right, we've done all we can do. Got to run. Matt Brown from the Final Countdown on VSiN, along with Stormy Bonatoni, weekdays 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, as
always. Absolutely. Good times.
My man. And Jeff Parlay, of course, Todd Wishnev, staples of the show. Thank you for listening. Good luck with all your bets. Week 11 and the National Football League.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.